You from ABQ Connect Now from Saturday from 10 in the morning to 11 in the morning every week. Thank you for joining us today. We have two interesting and very intelligent guests today. I'd like to introduce you. We have Jamie Guindato. Did I say your name right, Jamie?
You did. Thank you.
All right. He is the president and CEO of Sandoval Economic Alliance, which is an organization responsible to recruit and retain economic-based companies to grow the local economy by assisting companies in creating new jobs. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you very much.
We also have Del Esparza, who is the president of Esparza, which was founded in 2000. Esparza is a New Mexico-based business that provides strategic marketing, advertising, and business solutions to a broad range of national, public, and private clients. Welcome, Del, today.
Well, thank you, DJ. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to have both of you as guests today, and so is Jeffrey, and he'll join us in a few minutes, because both of you have a lot in common. You're both great leaders in our community. You both have a great marketing outlook. You're both very economically driven drivers to help New Mexico grow. So thank you for joining us today. Jamie, I have a question for you first. I'd like to talk a little bit about your past career. You come from Intel, right?
Yes, I spent 20 years at Intel, and it's been just a very rewarding career. It's a great example, by the way, and Dell and I have crossed our paths many times on not-for-profit, but it's a great example of a company that engages in a community, and that's partially why I built a passion for our community and economic development. So it's really exciting to be here, by the way, and we're close to Christmas, so Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. I know. It's less than, what, a week away?
It is. It's my favorite time of the year. So it's a good time to really get together, focus on a community and family, and then recenter ourselves in terms of what's really important in life and why are we doing the things we do on a daily basis in our businesses. So it's kind of a challenge for me to make sure that I rekindle that passion for our community, that economic development passion that I do have about helping businesses be successful.
So, Jamie, how did you go from your 20-year, career and working at Intel, recruiting talent, to economic development for Sandoval County?
Yeah, I'll make it short. My Intel career has been really spanned as starting out as an engineer, going through government relations, media relations. I've done a lot of different jobs, basically, at Intel. My last job was to recruit the talent for Intel. The last couple of years, when I was there, we had hired almost 30,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so how do you find the talent? And so that's one of the key questions, by the way, that economic developers ask. That's a key question that businesses ask. I'm sure Dell can talk a lot about, how to find the talent in marketing, that talent that's going to move his business forward. And so those are the kinds of questions that I was able to answer with Intel. We did global marketing, but at the end of the day, marketing has to resonate at the local level, and it has to pull on the heartstring of that individual who wants a career with a great company like Intel. But what I'm discovering in this job is there's also great companies that are small, that nobody talks about, that have some incredible talent. And the way they look for talent was very eye-opening for me as well. So my challenge before was to find massive numbers of people who would be talented to join a company like Intel. But on the flip side, that small company, how do we help them? And that's where I'm learning a ton from the small business in terms of how they find talent, how they build networks of people who they think about succession, and how do I bring that talent on board. And it's a very interesting dynamic that I hadn't really had visibility prior, since my job was really about massive marketing and less, that individual marketing.
So, Dell, you founded your business in the same year I did. So share with us how you started Esparza, and tell us a little bit about the journey and where you are today in your marketing initiatives.
Well, I have an interesting and pretty eclectic background. I actually don't have an advertising background. I actually have a business background. My degree is in finance and economics. And after graduating from college, I worked in the East Coast and worked for IBM, and missed the Southwest quite a bit growing up here in Albuquerque. I'm a native of Albuquerque, native of New Mexico. So I miss the Southwest a lot. Tried to get back to Albuquerque. En route, I went to Houston, which I thought was the Southwest, and actually, and it's not the Southwest at all. It's about as far away as from New Mexico as it possibly can be, although it's a state right next to Texas, is right next to New Mexico. It's really not the Southwest. So I left my job with Conoco Oil in Houston and moved back to Albuquerque. And I got into a healthcare, and I worked for a very large healthcare corporation that was based here in Albuquerque called Horizon Healthcare. And for those of you all out there who have been in business in New Mexico for a while, you might be familiar. Horizon was a publicly traded company based here in Albuquerque. There were two. It was Sun Healthcare as well as Horizon Healthcare, and I worked with Horizon was able to grow with Horizon. Horizon got bought out by another corporation. I ended up partnering with a corporate communications director. And neither one of us wanted to be relocated, moved back to New Mexico for a reason. And so we started what was called Esparza King, April 1st of 2000. And I bought her out in 2004, and it became just Esparza Advertising, and now it's just Esparza.
I remember Esparza King. Mm-hmm. I think we worked together way back there in the beginning.
We did from the beginning and wow. Still do.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit. Jamie shared his goal and how he does marketing and finding talent. Mm-hmm. Tell us how many employees you have and how you find talent out there to work for you.
Well, advertising has changed so much. You know, I started, like I said earlier, I started in April of 2000, and the industry has changed so much. Just in the last, in the last 2 years, it's changed tremendously with broadband and certainly with social media and the amount of networks and mediums that exist out there. It's a lot harder to garner somebody's attention, and so our industry, which is the whole premise is built on, creating attention and grabbing attention and developing a compelling message that prompts a desired action. The way we go about getting talent is a lot different than the way we used to go about getting talent. And so, we definitely look for people who understand new mediums, people who are broad thinkers. I said earlier, I don't have an advertising background, I have a business background. And, what I originally thought was a weakness actually has turned out to be quite a strength, because at the end of the day, and you preface my introduction with something that we do as a company, and we solve business problems. And advertising is just one of the solutions. When you think about business problems, advertising is a solution. Well, we do a lot of solutions. We provide a lot of solutions. Some of those is advertising. Some of those is internal communications. Some of those is environmental and experiential events. What we look for when it comes to recruiting talent is somebody who's able to view a problem at a 30,000-foot level, which is a lot different than the way we looked at talent 10, 15 years ago.
Wow, you're listening to 1050 KTBL every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m., sponsored by ExhibIt, co-hosted by DJ Heckes and Jeffrey Candelaria. You're listening to ABQ Connect Now.
I really appreciate Dell's experience and how his business was built with respect also to talent, right? And I think what we've seen, and this is true for not just large companies but for small alike, is that technical knowledge, right? Social media has a lot of technical components mm-hmm. to it. So what we're finding too is in looking for talent, you want to look at the individual that has a very complete technical knowledge, but also the skills that are necessary to really thrive in that marketing environment mm-hmm. that has become a lot more digital, right? So mm-hmm. what are some of your, I assume that you started out very much in a publication advertising space,
right.
Traditional media. What, how have you seen those changes moving to digital, and what are you doing to kind of really drive fast in that space? Because those who are not moving fast are going to go under pretty quickly, right?
I mean, the ecosystem that we live in now versus 10, 15 years ago is just so completely different. The mediums that I think of when we started it in 2000, the mediums that we played in were very traditional in nature. It was television, it was radio, it was outdoor, it was print. Outside of that, digital was still so very, very new. And without broadband and high speed, you really couldn't do a whole lot. I was reading an article just yesterday. The first YouTube video was posted in 2005, and I thought, gosh, it's not that long ago. And I think of the impact that YouTube has had, in the digital world, and now really it is the largest search engine. It's profound. And so, the world we live in now, from my perspective, when it comes to advertising, is somebody who not just understands traditional forms of media, like I referenced earlier, such as television, radio, outdoor, print, all very, very important components and critical components when it comes to communicating a message. But how do you augment that, and how do you support that through digital forms of media? What people are looking for, whether you're recruiting talent for Intel or whether you are trying to sell Mini Coopers or BMWs, what people are looking for is to form a relationship with a brand. What traditional forms of media has offered is the ability to communicate your brand to a potential consumer. What social media and other digital platforms offer now is to be able to be able to relate to them, to be able to have a relationship with a prospect and a consumer.
You know, I remember going back, Dell, to 2009, a lot of people were getting away from brands, and they realized they were getting burned on the internet. Mm-hmm. They were trying to buy quick, buy cheap, and then brands are coming back. Do you agree that we are getting back to a society that has to know, like, and trust a brand because we move so fast?
Yeah, well, without, you know, I think what people are looking for is they're looking for authenticity, and they're looking to have a relationship, especially if you look at the millennials. Millennials make buying decisions. They make decisions based on, can I relate to this brand? And so, you know, DJ, you make reference to the branding and a movement and a groundswell towards more of a definition of truly the essence of what your brand is from a company standpoint or even from an individual standpoint. What consumers are looking for is does that brand make me more me? Am I more authentically myself if I wear this perfume, if I buy clothes at this particular department store, if I drive this car? And so it's really incumbent upon brands and companies to understand what their brand is, the definition of their brand, and effectively communicate that to a prospect to make them feel more relatable and more connected.
Dell, I have a question about that. So it seems to me that's an interesting construct. I thought folks responded to brands because they wanted to be associated with people that were like the brand. In other words, people wear Ralph Lauren because it's kind of a sexy kind of a feel, mm-hmm. makes them possibly feel like, hey, I have a little more wealth, mm-hmm. I have a little more status. Mm-hmm. But I heard you just say that a brand actually is more of a self-expression. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about those distinctions, because I always thought a brand was, I drive a BMW because I'm like Jamie Grandato, mm-hmm. and I live in Fort Hills, and I'm a mm-hmm. powerful power broker in Albuquerque, mm-hmm. even though I live in South Broadway,
right.
and owning a BMW somehow makes me feel like I'm a power broker living in more an affluent part of Albuquerque. So talk about that distinction.
Well, I don't think it really is a distinction. I think it's more of it makes Jamie feel more like him, or makes him feel more like who he wants to be. So he's going to drive a BMW because maybe that's either who he is or who he wants to be, where he aspires.
Okay, the aspiration, and there it is. That's what I was mm-hmm. getting a little confounded about. So it's really aspiring to be something more in terms of my potential mm-hmm. than I could be possibly without the car, without the clothes. That kind of thing. Jamie, it sounds like you want to chime in here.
Well, no, absolutely. I think brand, by the way, is so important these days. And I was just thinking about how it relates to the work that we do now at the Economic Alliance, which is about branding the community, branding who we are as a community and why companies would want to move to New Mexico mm-hmm. and specifically to the metro area, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way we're describing it is kind of that piece. But I also think the authenticity, and we talk about social media, comes through in a social space much more than it may have come in the past, right? Images, text convey only so much. I think the business that I'm in specifically is about relationship marketing. And at the end of the day, those relationships we make with business owners, business leaders across the country and internationally, and get them to engage with us and discuss, you know, what the possibilities are if they move their businesses to the metro area and create jobs with that. You know, that's really the angle on the branding side that we use. And at the end of the day, if I cannot establish a relationship with some of these business owners who make decisions every day for their employees and may decide to expand or grow their capability or even locally, right? Mm-hmm. We as New Mexicans know who we are, and that should also continue to reinforce, you know, our ability to build out businesses and create jobs. That's where brand comes into play. And I think that if we can live the brand and be the brand, that's when you arrive. So, yeah. So the BMW, I drive a Ford and a Dodge Ram, right? So it's like, okay. So my brand is more about, you know, the living lifestyle of New Mexico from my perspective, which is that amazing outdoors, amazing weather, being able to do things and engage with a community and in different aspects, not just in the business aspect. To me, brand is going to be so critical for us to grow our community and continue to build that critical mass up so that we get to a point where, as a community, we are generating that wealth that a lot of other communities enjoy across the country that is really necessary to grow the economy. So brand is really at the core of it, right?
Mm-hmm. You're listening to ABQ Connect Now, a business radio program. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelari, along with
DJ Heckes.
And DJ, by the way, thank you for sponsoring ABQ Connect Now. Why do you sponsor ABQ Connect Now, DJ?
I sponsor because I believe in our community, and I believe there's great leaders, and I love bringing people together and collaborating to make us a better place to live, work, and have fun in.
Very good. Our guests today are Del Esparza and Jamie Grindato. Del and Jamie, I'd like you to both weigh in on, do you think we've done a good job, or what is your perspective on branding of Albuquerque? I don't think we've done a good job. I don't think we know who we are. The word Hispanic, for example, when I worked at the chamber for 20 years, for example, corporations use the word Latino. We don't use the word Latino in New Mexico, yet some of the bigger corporations would force down that language down our throats when we said, that's not a word that's conducive to this particular ecosystem. We just don't, from an anthropological perspective, use the word Latino. And it took me literally, and you probably have faced this, Del, 10 years to fight some of the bigger Fortune 500 companies that didn't understand back east, back west coast, that the word Latino isn't used. My question, do you think we have done a good job in branding Albuquerque as an ecosystem to have a business here or to migrate to New Mexico? Because you both know, based on the recent metrics, 12,000 skilled, prepared labor force folk have left Albuquerque in the last year alone. So any perspectives on that?
So at the highest level, and then I'll let the expert in marketing, you know, again, I know your business focus, but I know your business is all about marketing. But here's my take on it. First of all, there's a difference between labels and branding, right? So what you articulated are labels that are really meaningless in the context of branding, as far as I'm concerned. The characteristics of a brand around New Mexico and the metro area should be more around the quality of life, should be more around the ability to be a big fish in a small pond if you start a new business here. I think the business community has a brand of support, help. I've known so many business leaders that are engaged in our community. There's a brand of engagement. So I think we have, in that sense, not really articulated it in that direction. I've been part of many efforts to brand New Mexico. I think New Mexico True campaign, by the way, is a great brand for tourism.
Me too.
Don't you agree? I think it's such a revitalizing brand. It speaks to the experience that you can have if you come to visit New Mexico. That's what the real brand is about. So in that sense, I think we have a long way to go to build our brand. But it's something that evolves. It's something that we have to talk about on a constant basis. It's not something where you just invest some money and then in 2 weeks you bring leaders together and you just say, here's our brand. I think we have to continuously live through it until someone feels the need to crystallize this ingredient called the brand for Albuquerque Metro, for New Mexico. So I think we have a long way to go. I don't know, Dale, do you agree with that?
Well, I think we definitely have a blank canvas. There was some research that came out, probably a month ago or 2 months ago from the Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Albuquerque. And what it indicated is people don't have a negative perception of Albuquerque. They don't necessarily have a positive perception of Albuquerque. They have no perception.
No perception,
so really,
right.
We have a blank canvas. And at Esparza, we speak about this quite often. There's a difference between communicating what's important and communicating what's compelling. And when it comes to selling Albuquerque to the business community, I think New Mexico True is a great campaign and definitely sells and dispels the perception that exists out there and sells New Mexico for the greatness of what it is. And that's a great outdoor place, a great outdoor location with plenty of outdoor activities, clean air, great people, authentic people, real people, great food. I think it's taking a concept like that and finding what's the most compelling message, quick message for a business that might be considering relocating and or expanding in New Mexico. So I think you know, the beauty of New Mexico True, and we're at Esparza, we're blessed that we have a small contract with New Mexico True. We're able to do so, leverage the strength that campaign has. The strength of New Mexico True is the simplicity of mm-hmm. the term New Mexico True, and how you're able to bring in beautiful imagery and the imagery communicates and validates the statement of true. Well, I think we need to do that for Albuquerque and for New Mexico economic development as well.
And I agree with that, Dale. When I think authenticity, because I'm an implant here from 1991, and I picked New Mexico to come move. And when I think of it, I say authenticity, the food, mm-hmm. the culture, the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This is a unique place that has diversity, but roots are started here, and we're really growing a lot of history mm-hmm. with that.
So with all respect to that, though, the quality of life is something that's intrinsic to this area. There's no question. And that's an important dynamic that cannot be oversold or undersold, excuse me. But at the same time, I've been on familiarization tours when somebody from Houston looks at Albuquerque or someone from China looks at Albuquerque, and both of you probably know this. You know, the folks that make these decisions, they want good schools. They want to know that there's fine art, that there's truly the height of culture here. The regulatory burdens on business are extreme in New Mexico. That's a fact. Our labor pool, Jamie, you probably know a lot about that, mm-hmm. isn't what it needs to be. So we can talk about quality of life all you want. I'm not trying to be negative, but the reality is mm-hmm. we have to overcome some of the regulatory impediments, tax structures. I mean, we're one of the only states that taxes Social Security, for example. That's a burden for those that want to ultimately retire here. Obviously, we know what our education problem is, and I don't mean to be a negative, but we've got to talk about those and address those as well if we're going to truly brand a comprehensive position that is Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Jamie, you probably know about that. We've had these conversations. What are your thoughts about that? We have made improvements, but what are your insights in those regards?
You know, it's all about, I think the key word is continuous improvement, right? So we need to continue to relentlessly improve whatever we can in our community. And we have some good leadership in the education space, et cetera, right? So I'm benefiting from the Rio Rancho Public School District. Talk about education as one of the best school districts, certainly in the state, if not in the country. It's in the top, you know, X number. I don't even know what the number is, but what a great school district for a public school district. That sells, right? So you're absolutely right. So whatever we can do to improve education, improve the workforce, improve other quality of life aspects, regulatory for business, that's a no-brainer. We have to continue to relentlessly do that. However, my philosophy has changed a little bit in terms of what do we do today, right? So we have to think about what do we have as assets today, recognizing our limitations. And so when we do recruitment and branding for companies to hopefully relocate them here or help companies locally not to move out, there's a big retention problem. I think you mentioned that also with the workforce. How do we retain them? I think we have to really work with what we have today. And so what strategically we have been doing at the Economic Alliance is to target companies of the right size, the right mindset, the cultural fit, right? So they come into this community and they feel like at home as much as they can right away. Then you start growing that critical mass. I think fundamentally what New Mexico needs is more people. It's kind of odd to say, but we need a critical mass. If you look at neighboring cities and metro areas, they have a huge critical mass, which means it comes with capital, it comes with savviness, it comes with just sheer volume of people. We talk about workforce. We can find a workforce in New Mexico, but we have to do very targeted marketing and really targeted understanding of what the talent force is. That's why we started Talent ABQ with Innovate Educate, right? It's about identifying that gem, that person that can do the job. We need to do that today because we do not have the sheer numbers that other, you know, metros have to be able to find that workforce. So I agree with you, Jeff. I think we do need to continue to improve a lot of things. We know where we're hurting. But I think that the approach that I'm taking right now in economic development is just the very pragmatic approach of finding that company that has the willingness to move here. And I'll share maybe a story a little bit later about a specific company Because we're all concerned about the perception of crime in Albuquerque, which is a negative. But it's interesting. So let me share it right now quickly. So that company was looking at New Mexico, and we were trying to articulate that this was a good community. And they said, so where on this map is kind of the where's the crime rate on this map? And so I kind of said, well, this is, you know, this is what the data shows us, and this is, you know, information from the public you know, from public safety. And they said, don't worry, we're from Chicago. We understand. So sometimes we're worried too much about some of these things, and then you talk to a company and they know what they're coming into. They're already relatively aware of things. And so that was a good lesson for me to say, you know, let's use what we have. Let's be open. Let's talk about what our strengths are. Let's find the right targeted company that has the right size, the right culture, the right fit for today, in the hopes that all together we're going to continue to build up that critical mass to improve all of these different
areas. Makes sense, and that's probably a very wise approach. So Dale, I'd like you to talk about this. The importance of a coherent, consistent, uniform message that we all share, I imagine, is a very important thing to do. My question is, we have the Hispano Chamber, the Greater Chamber, ACI, Economic Forum, ABQID. You have all these different entities that I think are all doing very good work. But do you think we have, maybe it's time that we bring all of our leaders together in the ecosystem and talk about not just how well we're doing, but a message, a coalesced message around the things you talked about, quality of life, the labor force we do have, the true statistics that make Albuquerque a great place to locate a business. Do you think that might be something that is a concern, or something that may be meritorious, that is bringing together all the leaders that run all these organizations and talking about unifying a message that we can coalesce around? Is that make any sense?
Well, absolutely. Anytime we're singing out the same sheet of music, I mean, the song is a lot sweeter and sounds a lot better. So I think you may make reference to ACI, you make reference to the Hispano Chamber, Greater Albuquerque Chamber. There's certainly chambers throughout the state.
AED.
And AED. I know that there is some effort to have some collective voice, especially during the legislative session, and they do make some attempts. But each of those entities have different missions as well and different boards as well. And with that brings different perspective or different priorities. And so on the surface, that sounds very logical and very easy. In reality, it's not always the case. And sometimes those perspectives.
I would argue, though, that the Greater Chamber, ACI, AED, the Hispano Chamber, Economic Forum, it's all about economic development.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So at least there is that one common thread.
Right.
And it seems to me, maybe I'll just do it on my own, I'd like to call those leaders together and talk about, okay, we're all trying to further the economic interests of this place called Albuquerque, New Mexico. Why don't we coalesce a message around that, maybe select two or three items around that construct?
So I'd like to share some events coming up, Jeffrey. You mind if we take a quick break? Don't forget to save the date, January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m., ABQ Connect Now event at Exhibit. Also, February 4th, we have the Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit at Marriott Pyramid from 8 to 12. The cost is $25 if you RSVP at nmleadership.com. Again, thank you for listening to KTBL 1050 AM KTBL every Saturday from 10 to 11.
So we have another segment with our guests. DJ, once again, talk a little bit about why you sponsor ABQ Connect Now.
I do. I really love bringing together a lot of different leaders that have the same vision for New Mexico. We all want to make New Mexico a great place for our children to want to go to school and to stay and to grow our economic development.
Very good, DJ. Again, our guests are Jamie Grindato and Dallas Sparza. These folks have very unique perspectives on business here with ABQ Connect Now. We appreciate your tuning in every Saturday on 1050 KTBL. We'll be back after this short break.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and Exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. Proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect Now Business Radio Program. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelari along with
DJ Heckes.
And once again, the purpose of ABQ Connect Now is to host power brokers like Dell and Jamie, who have unique insights about economics, particularly. We're talking about branding, for example, today, marketing, how that impacts potentially the ecosystem, and obviously both local business people who have success here for many years. Once again, DJ, thank you for sponsoring ABQ Connect Now.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And by the way, that jingle mingle you held recently, you had... Well, as I said recently, is that okay? You had 500 businesses there. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was the biggest one ever.
So, Jamie, you wanted to talk a little bit about some leadership from your perspective as the economic development director for
Sandoval County and Rio Rancho. Yeah.
Rancho.
You know, one of the things that that we talk about now is economic development is a team sport, and not just any team sport. It's a contact team sport. So we have to generate as many contacts as we can across the country. But at the same time, it's a fight. I feel like a pugilist once in a while, and you come away with a lot of black eyes. You know, economic development, you need to get 99 no's for that one yes that's going to make a difference, right? And in Sandoval County, we are pleased to be able to say that we were supporting and helped create over 1,000 jobs, which is our goal on a yearly basis. And that's 1,000 families that have been affected, right, in terms of being able either to move to Sandoval County or the metro area, because the other thing that we need to realize at the leadership level is everything we do, whether it's for one county or one municipality, affects the whole metro area and the whole state. So leadership-wise, what we started doing, and one of my missions was to really create an alliance. That's why the word alliance is in our name. And teaming up with Albuquerque Economic Development, with Gary Tonjes, who's been a friend of mine for a long time, and the New Mexico Partnership and the New Mexico Economic Development Department and all these other economic developers who have been doing this for a long time, you know, how do we bring that together and how do we sell the metro areas? Just to give you a quick example, Gary and I with Albuquerque Economic Development and Sandoval Economic Alliance team up on many visits so that we create one experience for that client. They generally fly into Sunport, right? We meet them down at the university at the Albuquerque Economic Development offices. We present the metro area, and then we organize the real estate tours and any other tours, workforce discussions, etc., across the metro area. And it's been very much appreciated by our visitors, who clearly see that other communities are split, where they come in and they basically get handed off from one organization to the other. So one of the pieces in leadership that I believe is going to make us successful is that team sport mentality, that approach of getting all the leaders together, creating a seamless experience for those business leaders so they recognize that New Mexico has collaboration and coordination going on, which is a critical component for any business to be successful. So that's one example of in my opinion, where leaders need to come together and we can continue to coordinate the work that we do. And I think earlier you mentioned that chambers and Association of Commerce and Industry, all of us are really in economic development. And from my perspective, every one of them has a very specific role in economic development. One might be focused on policy. Mine is very much focused on marketing and selling, right, and getting the client to come and visit our communities and selling that community to them. So we all have different perspectives on that. But for me, I'm really excited about being able to work in a collaborative. And I know that the business community, not just on the economic development side, but in a business community, Dell, you have many, you know, you have a supply chain, you have partners out there, you have individuals who have a common agenda with your business, right? And that's how business thrives.
Absolutely, yeah. Without question, I mean, when, rising tides lift all boats. And so certainly when we grow, when our suppliers grow, when our suppliers grow, they're hiring more people. So anything that you're doing from a recruitment standpoint and or from an organic growth standpoint is, you know, is going to ultimately benefit us as a Albuquerque-based business.
Yeah, so I don't know if we answered your question, Jeff, but that's kind of my perspective on how leaders can improve our economy.
Well, I think you did. Yes, again, thank you for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelary, along with
DJ Heckes.
You did. I have my own perspective on it. I think we have dinosaur leadership in many ways, meaning I think we have five or six organizations that are very powerful. I won't mention names, but maybe a Chamber of Commerce, that type of organization. You have somebody in some of these positions more than 20, 30 years. I don't know that those persons are properly equipped to understand how business is done today, because so much has changed in the last 5 years, let alone 10, 20. We talked about this with a guest a couple of weeks ago. It used to be that Sears would tell us what kind of washer and dryer to buy. Now we tell them, because we have the power of technology, what we want. That's a complete different way of doing business. Folks actually have the ability to basically have anything in terms of information instantaneously. Mm-hmm. So now that you own a business today, you have to have a certain amount of agility. I think, Dell, you probably know more about that than I do, than you did 40 years ago when we sell pizza and we sell spaghetti and that's it. And here we are. We're on a high and Broadway Street. And people just sort of had to deal with, that's my option. But that whole mindset has changed because of technology. I'm convinced that we have four or five leaders in Albuquerque today that don't know how to use an iPad. And if that's the case, and I believe it is, how are you going to tell me that those folks are equipped to tell me how to deal with millennials and emerging populations thereafter? Anyway, that's my perspective. Our guests today are Jamie Grindotto and Del Esparza, DJ.
You know, going on that, I'd like to add in, you know, I'm very active in the community. I'm on Albuquerque Economic Development Ambassador, Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Board. I'm a member of multiple chambers in the state. And, you know, what I really like to see is when our legislators, people do get together. We did make a difference on one. That triple tax, you know, dollars was huge on economic growth. If we didn't get that, we'd still be hurting more. I also see the international outreach our lieutenant governor has done in this trade show a month ago. He went out to California, and they're trying to get new investors here to buy in. And what you're doing, Jamie, you know, partnering with Gary Tongias, you know, I'm starting to see that momentum of us moving forward. And, you know, Holly Holm, you know, she put us on the map. No one knew that we had a great fighter here in little old Albuquerque. And we're starting to get some great visibility. But how do we keep that brand? How do we capture that audience where we don't lose them from old news? What do you suggest on that?
Well, we continue to do the hard work. That's my perspective. So leadership is hard work. It requires thought. It requires coordination, collaboration. I think that, as you mentioned, and I'm glad to hear it, that you feel like we are teaming together with different organizations to move forward. I think that's really the key. But it requires that extra oomph, right? That extra work that we all have to do to have the conversation like we're having today. To be able to formulate a plan of attack, so to speak, and recognizing that we're all in this together. And I think that's a big step forward. I also think that from an economic development standpoint, you pointed out to the legislature, I think we've made tremendous progress. The legislature has been very, very strong, very encouraging with respect to making the $50 million LEADA fund available for communities in rural areas. My organization happens to do urban, but also rural economic development. That is a completely different, it requires different strategies, different approaches. So I've seen also at the political level and at the policy level, great progress made, right? So to a certain extent, I tell my board, I have no more excuse, right? I have the tools that I need to move forward. Again, I'll take what I have and I'll formulate a strategy to grow over the next 12 months with the intent of having a long-term impact. So what's going to happen is we're going to move very quickly in small incremental steps as a community, but one day we're going to have that critical mass and things will start taking over on its own. And you know, we always compare ourselves to Texas. We are not Texas. We are not Colorado. We are not Arizona. We're not California. We have very unique strengths that we've been grappling with for many years. As long as I've been here 30 years in New Mexico, we've been grappling with those questions forever, and it feels like we haven't made any progress. I think my conclusion has been we need to create that critical mass, and it starts with that leadership coordination and collaboration. And I think we are moving in the right direction at all levels, policy level, financial level, business level, economic development group levels, and we need to continue moving in that direction.
If I could touch on that too, you know, just from a business perspective, one of the things that I feel, and you use the word momentum, DJ, and I completely agree, is it definitely does feel like there is momentum that's taking place. And there's a... you know, I have an office in Houston, and so I travel a lot, and I have, you know, our largest clients in New York, our second largest clients in Chicago, so I'm out of town quite a bit. What that brings me is a tremendous amount of perspective. What New Mexico has is that whole New Mexican mentality, which I just don't understand. You know, we're a small state, so you know the cliff off of high talent is pretty steep. I mean, you have very capable individuals, but when I compare the issues that we're facing compared to the issues that are being faced by other states or other communities, very similar, a lot of similar issues. But what I'm seeing now that I didn't used to see is, let's figure this out. Let's put our hands together. Let's coalesce. You use the word coalesce, Jeffrey. I totally agree. Much more collaboration than I had seen in the past, and that's refreshing. I think that what New Mexico needs, what Albuquerque truly needs, is a dose of confidence.
Yeah,
they want to believe.
Absolutely. This is controversial, but I'm going to say it again. The Candeleras have been here since 1680, so I'm not a carpetbagger. I've noted, because I've done some traveling, not to the extent that you folks have. It seems to me that we settle for mediocrity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We settle for we think mediocre stuff is good. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. I read a book, you both probably read it, Good is the Enemy of Great.
Mm-hmm.
The variance between good and great is vast. Mm-hmm. I travel around, and not every city is like this, but when I go to Houston, when I go to Dallas, when I go to Phoenix, most of the folks that are in business demand greatness.
Mm-hmm.
They demand greatness. That's our challenge. It's a very controversial statement, but I'm saying it. We need to coalesce around being great and not settling for mediocrity. DJ, again, some of the live events coming up, please. We had a caller that was asking about that on my phone.
Yes, thank you. January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m., the next ABQ Connect Now Business Network Exchange. It's free. It's at Exhibit. You can RSVP by calling 604-9081. Also, we're proud to announce our third Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit on February 4th from 8 to 12 p.m., 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Marriott Pyramid. We have 5 leadership speakers. It's going to be a great opportunity to have takeaway practical information that you can learn and use.
You know, Dell and DJ, we're the only business radio show that also complements our listenership with live events called ABQ Connect Now, which is really, I think, a very practical way of getting folks engaged into these conversations, but then also providing free business networking events to help them do business to business. DJ?
Yeah, I'd like to go on. You know, Dell, I don't know if you've ever taken advantage of this being an existing business. You're probably going on 16 years too now,
yes,
right?
Correct.
So there's a lot to offer existing businesses and the startups here. I think we're finally starting to realize, hey, we're doing great things on incubators with ABQID and some of the other ones. But there's also some great organizations, like you have New Mexico MEP, Jamie mentioned, and New Mexico Partnership. But you have SBDC and SBA and the JTIP program. Mm-hmm. I know I've taken advantage of the JTIP and NMMEP. Right now I'm working on a grant of how to take our manufacturing of our graphics and make sure we have systems and processes in place to make sure we're job costing accurately, we're applying all the materials the right way. There's a lot of unique things. Have you ever known anyone to take advantage of those existing business programs?
Well, you know, Jamie and I were talking about that just before the show, and utilizing Jamie and him as a resource, and certainly other entities that exist out there, to be that conduit of connecting your company and your company's growth to some of these resources that exist out there. So much of our growth in New Mexico and in Albuquerque should be organic, and we have great companies that are starting out and existing companies that are in a growth mode. There's resources that exist out there, not just for acquiring and relocating businesses to New Mexico, but supporting existing businesses in New Mexico. As a business owner, I am familiar with some of them. I probably need to be a little bit more familiar, and certainly probably need to reach out with the likes of Jamie and AED and other entities out there that can connect me to the right resources.
Yeah, one of the challenges that we found for small businesses, just the lack of understanding the fact that a lot of these incentives are available for businesses in New Mexico. So if you're an economic-based employer, in the case of JTIP or any kind of job growth program, it's important to know that you are eligible for those programs. And I'll let DJ maybe talk a little bit more about, you know, how her experience was. There are also programs, by the way, that are not required for economic base companies. It's also available for other companies, like especially in the space of financing, right? Capital is right now very difficult to get hold of. And today's deals, in order to make something happen, requires more than ever partners. You might have a private sector financing, public sector financing, you have bonding. There's a lot of different capabilities that are out there, but you have to have the savviness of bringing all that together. And most small businesses just don't have that wherewithal. And so that's why you have economic development organizations that allow you to make that right connection and bring the resources together. DJ, what was your experience with JTIP, by the way?
You know, it was very good. Talking about economically based or having an impact, it's about bringing 51% of your dollars from outside the state. And it's interesting, Damien, I don't know about you, Dell. I'd like to hear your take on this, because you're in Houston also. I'm only based in Albuquerque, and I'm a national organization. When the economy was getting kind of rough in 2009 through 12, I really started diversifying and thinking, okay, what can I do to be unique and different and brand, but let's take it outside the state, because I want to bring new dollars in to help our state. So I ended up being 78% at one time national and 22% local. But you know, it's interesting, I'm seeing the economy change here, mm-hmm. because that's changed since 2013. I think it was 64% national. And last year, I was down to 58 or 59% national. Now it's starting to almost become balanced. This year, I'm almost, I think it's 47% national. So it's flipping. So that's a good thing for New Mexico, that we're finally realizing, hey, in order to make our business better, we need to brand and go to trade shows or invest in materials. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing out there, Dell?
Well, you know, Jamie and I were talking about this earlier. You know, I grew as a company outside of New Mexico because, as I made the reference, you fish where the fish are. And you know, with the downturn in the economy in New Mexico and its slow recovery, in order to survive as a company, I wanted to go to markets where they were recovering a little quicker, where they did have some companies that had a need for advertising. And so I was able to do that and make a compelling sell, and fortunately acquire some good clients and pick up some good clients. But as I mentioned earlier, momentum, and I'm starting to feel the momentum here in New Mexico, and I'm starting to see some more optimism, or feel some more optimism from business owners, and not nearly the amount of caution that I felt a few years ago. And what I sense is companies are doing well here in New Mexico. They're just a lot more cautious and risk adverse than they are in other markets.
I think companies, that's a good point, because I'm in banking, I study metrics. Companies are doing well. They're flatlined, but they're okay being flatlined. Mm-hmm. Again, I think to your point, I think folks are being very cautious about making another move, mm-hmm. hiring another 10 employees, opening up another franchise. That's smart and prudent, but at the same time, it's not really growth. I want to touch on something you said earlier, though, Jamie, about access to capital. I think, and both of you know, all of us know here, particularly those opening businesses, need to be much more circumspect and savvy about how they're accessing capital, because you have angel investors, you have non-angel investors. And there's a big difference, because sometimes an investor will want a piece of your action, sometimes they won't. So unless you understand some of those distinctions, the way you fund your business will have enormous and profound implications to your board, to the way your the direction of your business, and even really part of the ownership. So either of you want to chime in on the access to capital piece?
Sure, I'll be happy to. And by the way, both DJ and Dell's businesses having more import, basically services sold outside of the state, qualifies as headquarters as well, right? So you're a headquarter plus you're an economic base. So again, for those of you out there who have a business with more income coming from out of state, selling your services and products outside of the state, you and you're a headquarter in New Mexico, there are incentives available as well to continue to grow. Now, those incentives are only available with the proviso that you're going to hire, right? So that's the catch. That may be one of the strategies that the state of New Mexico, by the way, is employing to cause this cautiousness, right, this risk averseness to maybe change a little bit and reduce your risk, because it's all about reducing your risk as you grow further. In terms of capital, I think, Jeff, you're right. There are more options today for raising capital. Even down, we talked about social media, talk about raising funds on the internet, even for a small entrepreneurship type of an activity. There's more like that available today than there was even before the recession. What has changed dramatically, though, is especially those traditional lenders who are now burdened with, talk about regulatory environments, they're still trying to figure out how to lend money in a way that, you know, reduces their risk, so they're not going to be in violation of any kind of new regulation. And to me, sometimes it feels like we're making it up as we go in terms of regulation. So it would be nice if this country, and at the state level, local level, et cetera, did a push to say, okay, let's consolidate this regulation, let's freeze it for a while, and let businesses catch up with the regulation, right? Especially in healthcare, in financing, there's a lot of areas in our lives that are changing dramatically. And if we could just put a moratorium on some of this so that we all as a community can catch up, whether it be business or individual, and especially in a capital space, and clearly understand what the rules are, I think businesses would be more confident in soliciting or going after capital because the rules are known. And I think one of the issues is that it's just a big fluctuating thing with respect to the regulatory environment. And if we could just put a freeze and a moratorium behind it, I think we'd be at least better off. And business might start thinking more about, hey, I have business certainty here and I can move forward and I know what I'm dealing with.
You know, I have to plug Bank of the West, because I remember in 2008 I switched banks to Bank of the West, and it was a condition of, hey, I had a 100,000 line of credit, make it easy on me. And they did. Without a blink of an eye, they transferred it. And that's just an emergency fund. Then when I had to grow and I added more printers and laminators to grow to accommodate the national growth, in 2013 I added my second printer capability. And they said, well, why don't you do cash flow analysis and let's get you an operation loan. How much do you need? And I think that's powerful, and I know a lot of it has to do with good credit standing and good business long standing, but this is a bank that made it easy for me as a small business owner that doesn't really have the time to go, what do I need? Have that relationship with your banker. Sorry, Jeffrey, I had to plug you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. I work at Bank of the West, but lots of folks don't know that Bank of the West Albuquerque actually oversees Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. So we are a headquarters, which means we have a lot of autonomy here. But getting back to what we discussed here a moment ago, business is so much more complicated today than it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. There were so many implications on the financial front, on the marketing front, on the technology front. I mean, my gosh. Dell, you should probably talk about this. Do we do a good job of talking about how business is done today? I know you do when you talk to your clients, but I meet with clients all day long, depending on how old they are, 60, 50, 40, 20, 30. I mean, I have vast variances on how much each of those know about business today. What are your thoughts on business today versus even 5 years ago?
Well, it's certainly changed significantly. And you take a look at the cell phone and the your accessibility as a business leader and as a community leader is 24/7. And you know, depending on where you grow as a company, how you grow as a company, whether it's locally, domestically, or internationally, it's expected that you're available. And there's the whole idea of taking time off or after hours just doesn't exist anymore. So how you structure your business and the leadership, you we talked earlier about talent, the leadership you bring in to help support you is critical. But we live real time, and there's tremendous metrics that exists out there. It used to take months and years to make a determination of whether a decision is having the kind of effect you want. Now those kind of analytics are available within a day in real time. I mean, you can look right now to see what kind of impact you're having on a social media network, what kind of buzz or chatter is taking place about you or about something that's being said by looking at a hashtag or by viewing what's being said about your company. The way we manage is completely different. It used to be a business leader would direct the company and the future of the company. We live in a world now where the consumer directs the company and the direction that
company
is going.
That's why I talked about how things have turned upside down. Sears and Penny's and all those big companies would tell us what we're going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we basically tell them what we're going to buy. Mm-hmm. And some of those folks that have been in those power positions have had a hard time.
Well, it's a paradigm shift. Shift in how you think, how you lead, how you listen, and most importantly, how you adapt. And being malleable and flexible and having a model that allows for that kind of flexibility is critical, because we don't live in a world where you can adapt in a month. You need to adapt in a week. And when you have, you know, heavy capital, capital rich company, yet consumers are demanding a different type of washer, that's going to have an impact in how you run your company. And so it's a completely different world. Is it harder? I'd say it's a lot more complicated, because you're always being pulled.
And Dale, I think you hit it right. I know I teach my staff is that communication is critical.
Mm-hmm.
People communicate in different ways. Yes, we have generational differences and all that, but customers want to know if they want an email, you need to email them. You need to document in your client relations management. Do I email? Do I go to Facebook, LinkedIn? Do I tweet with them? Do I go to Google Plus and communicate? Do I just pick up the phone and call them? What means and channels do they want? And that's where that complexity comes in, because you can talk to a target audience all in technology, but depending on their cultural background and age, we have to communicate that way. And that just-in-time thing, you have to have your cell phone. If you have a website and you're selling on it and someone identifies and sends a lead form, if you don't respond instantly, they're going to move on.
Right. Well, what's happening now is, and you'll be hearing more and more about this if you already haven't, is real-time video. There's a group out there called Periscope. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Real-time video streaming. And, you know, what's going to happen, and Facebook is coming on board, the monster, the 800-pound gorilla is YouTube. And so live streaming is going to start taking place. We could live stream what's taking place right now, and people would be able to watch us. They'd be able to follow us just like on Facebook, and they'd be able to watch us real time, whereas before we'd have to tape it and then post it on YouTube. And you know, with broadband anymore, you know, people are demanding to be able to see things when they are happening. But for instance, you know, where that can be applied, not just to this interview. I mean, there might be actually, you know, people that are interested in seeing what the kind of interaction and the facial gestures that we have when we talk. But when you have an announcement about a company that's relocating, you know, real-time live streaming would be very engaging, and people would start following that. So I think what you'll start seeing over the course of the next year or two is a demand for even more connection, live connection, with all companies.
That kind of makes me feel good, because our B2B events for the last 3 years have been live streamed. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Well, you're up to speed on technology, DJ. But you're rather unique. But again, dinosaur leadership, and again, this is just my perspective. You have some of these folks that have been in power positions for 50 years. It's been very difficult. I see it. It's very self-evident for these folks to make those kinds of adjustments. I was on a plane 2 weeks ago. I was in Mexico. One of my clients called about a big loan. It's $1 million loan. Pretty big, huh? And had I not addressed that client, well, guess what? He's got about 18 other banks that are 5 keystrokes away. So you're damn right. I responded to him from the airplane and dealt with that issue. But again, that's the demand that the consumer now expects, that 20 years ago, no, he'll just wait till Monday till we get back.
All right, I'd like to share one more time our upcoming events. Thursday, January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m., the next ABQ Connect Now at Exhib It. You can RSVP by calling 604-9081. Also, be sure to RSVP to Leadership Tomorrow, Today's Summit at the Marriott Pyramid from 8 to 12 on February 4th by going to nmleaders.com.
Thank you, DJ, and thank you again for being a sponsor of ABQ Connect. Now, we've got about 20 seconds, so once again, thank you, Jamie Grindotto.
Thank you very much.
Del Esparza, I mean, we were really looking forward to your being guests. We're going to have you on again at another place and time. Thank you, Albuquerque, for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhib It can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one-sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and Exhib It experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhib It, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. Proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show.
KKOB's Talk Partners, 1050, KTBL, Los Ranchos de Albuquerque. Cumulus Station.
Air deaths, homegrown terror. I'm Michael Toscano.
I hope Iraqis will understand.